Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, the conclusion to episode 210. This is part two, The Poor. Today is Sunday, September 4th, 2011. Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast. I am your hostess with the mostest, Janine Arnopoulos, and I'm coming to you from Spirited, North Minneapolis, Minnesota, USA. Pastor Paul's club is located in Disciples Ministries' historic Mikra Kodesh Synagogue at 1000 Oliver Avenue in North Minneapolis. So if your household needs food, you live anywhere in Minnesota, you are living in a household of two or more, or you are a senior, 60 years and older, or disabled with proof, you can come to Pastor Paul's and register your household for monthly groceries. You would come between 9:30 and 10:30, Monday through Friday, bring a picture ID, a current piece of mail, and verification of the household members, either medical cards or social security cards. It's that simple. Pastor Paul's club distributes a lot of groceries, so be sure to bring help carrying the food, or if you're on the bus, bring a grocery cart or a huge bag, because there is a lot of food. A lot of times Pastor Paul gives away cases of perishable food as well, such as fruits and vegetables and 20-pound bags of onions. We deal with a lot of perishable foods, fresh foods, as well as frozen, not so much in the canned goods. So be sure to be prepared to carry, bring extra bags. Okay, if you have any questions, you want more information about Pastor Paul's club, you can visit us online at www.pastorpaul.org. Be sure to go to www.pastorpaul.blogspot.com. There you're going to find a link to Pastor Paul's podcast. So be sure to go there to check out the show notes as well. And then there are the scripture links in the show notes too. And subscribe to Pastor Paul's podcast. Now for the month of September, these are the messages: the poor, self-righteous, crossing over, commitment, and separated. So be sure to listen to Pastor Paul's podcast every Friday for part one, every Sunday for part two. That's all I have for you. Have a great month of September. God bless you.
The poor have the gospel preached to them. And so let's look at something now which I think absolutely necessary if the poor are to have the gospel preached to them at all. Number one, the gospel must be preached where the poor can come to hear it. How can the gospel be preached to the poor if they can't make it to where it's preached? If it's way out there in suburbia. If it's way out there in my former setting, Noble Mountain, on Noble Avenue. And by the way, don't go down to Skid Row and minister prosperity teachings. Well, this guy asks you for a quarter. Oh, I know what you're going to do with that quarter. No, I won't give you a quarter, but I'll buy you a meal. Isn't that bad arithmetic? Now he has to go down and spend $5. And the guy's stomach won't even hold that food. Where he could have said, no, I'll give you some money. Whatever, quarter, whatever. But would you listen to something that happened in my life? And he gives him the gospel message. And then don't sneak around following the guy to see if he goes and buys a little bottle of vino. Huh? That's none of your business. It's only because you know him so well that you know yourself so well that you know him so well. Uh-huh. I thought so. Now you're going to go to hell. What an encouragement we are to people. What good is a feeding ministry that fingerprints everybody when they come in? When did your forefathers come over? Can you prove that? Bring in your family log, and then we'll give you a bun and tomato. Were you brought up in the church? Bring in your family log. And then we'll let you into the church. No, you got to go where the poor are. You pass out bread and soup and then minister the gospel of Jesus Christ. And sometimes you have to prove yourself. Pastor Paul, you're all right for a white man. What an encouragement that is. Really, I mean it. From the meanest man that I know. That's excluding myself. I mean, no, you can be meaner than hell itself if you set your mind to it. Come on, put your hands up. Woo! Look at them hands fly up there. Now, see, you're free, and it shows on your faces. Praise God, I am mean. And you didn't put your hand up, you'd sit there like this, see? You know, I don't like this preaching. I'm not mean. Get all stiff in the knees. You know, you're going to get arthritis, you know what I mean? This guy clowning around up there. Huh? How many got free on that one? You put your hands up and your countenance is showing it. Yeah, it did. Come on. You don't preach. You must have faith and never exercise it. By giving or by serving or allowing yourself to become lowly. I was watching this cowboy show, and this guy was called the preacher. And I get a kick out of these cowboy shows. It shows the preacher and then shows him with two guns, you know what I mean? And he puts on his guns, you know, and they say, a preacher put on his guns. Well, that's easy, click, click, them old things are clicking down there. We call them spurs, clicking down there. He's got this great big old riding coat on, you know, and a hat down, walking against the sun, and he comes clicking. He comes clicking up, you know, flips his jacket back, you know, relaxes his hands, you know what I mean. Ooh, the preacher is mad. Aren't you glad that you listen on the radio, especially some of my friends that's listening on the radio right now. Aren't you glad that the preacher isn't a gun person? Boy, there'd be a lot of preachers that a lot of times watch that kind of movie and say, man, that's my kind of preacher. All right, dance! Bam, 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 bam. So anyway, this preacher got these men and these people to sort of stand up for themselves and not be kicked off of their claims. And he says, well, what you got to do is you got to unite and you got to become one. Because divided, and I think he borrowed this from another famous American, divided you'll fall. Together you'll stand. Then this one little sort of a little guy, he says, well, I'm not a coward, but I'm not a brave man either. I thought, what a stupid thing to say. I'm sort of in between and I'm going to stay. Well, he's going to stay because Preacher Two Guns was here. Well, when that Preacher Two Guns wasn't there, then they all sort of fell apart. Then Preacher Two Guns come back in again. He says, I was just seeing. And see, there's a lot of biblical truths in this thing. To see if you would stand on what I had shown you and what I had told you. Now you're in trouble and I'm going to go out there with you. And isn't that the Lord? And the one little guy said something that was really great. He said, now, if we get off our claims, we've been each offered $1,000. And the one guy said, is that your price for your dignity? $1,000? What will be the price the next time? $2,000? What is your sellout price? What kind of pressure will it take to have you leave the gospel message, Pastor Paul, and to leave the north side? And I was watching this, and my head was going, you know. My head is always going. Is your head always going? Hope so, because when they stop going, you're dead. No, I heard somebody say, you're already gone. Well. How many are hearing this? But do you get the implication? Do you understand what I'm trying to get across there? What price? How hard does it get? And then you got to jump ship, Pastor Paul. And so the gunmen come back. The music, cling, ding, ding, cling, 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 cling. Then all of a sudden he was standing on this little knoll and they looked up. Preacher came back in again. What's the moral of that story? The moral of that story is pretty heavy, isn't it? What price will you sell out for? What cost the gospel? Gospel costs you something. Every one of you sitting here today. You listening on the radio, the gospel costs. The Bible says so. Are you willing to give your life to the gospel of Jesus Christ? Are you willing to be slandered, hated in the house of your friends? Are you? And keep your mouth shut? Jesus didn't say one word when maligned, when come against. He didn't say one word. Why? It would not further the gospel message. He didn't come to argue and to get into vain discussions and jump ship. He says, if it be the will of the Father to throw me up on the cross and to have me nailed, good. And he had our flesh grafted into him. He gave us his spirit. We gave us our flesh. And then he had to have it all nailed on the cross so it all died. What's your price, you listening on the radio right now? What count the cost You in here, you count the cost. Dove, you count the cost. People that are supporting this ministry on the radio, count the cost. Boy, the radio audience is getting mighty quiet. They sat down their Pepsi and their Frito-Lay potato chips and their onion and garlic dip, and they're not doing a thing right now but staring off into space, and you should stare off into space. What cost? See, because faith without works, and for you people out there, and the prosperity for me and because people, it isn't always easy. Some say, and they tell me, well, Pastor Paul, you know, if it's of God, every door will be open. It'll be real easy. Well, I'm going to ask Peter and Paul and John and James and Jesus, I always ask. Was it always the smooth road, Peter? Oh, Paul, I see you standing over there. Man, oh man, look at the whip marks and all of the folded over skin, and your ears are hanging down like you was one of them wrestlers. What happened to you? Well, I mean, didn't you have faith? I mean, you should have just not received that. I don't receive it. You ever heard somebody didn't say this and this, and they say, I don't receive that. Why didn't you say that, Paul? That's the newest thing out now. I don't receive it. It works. Huh? Why didn't you just claim it? Claim it didn't happen. Huh? And you wouldn't have to look like that. It's okay, though. We learn from your mistakes. Isn't that what they're saying in this modern day? Ungospel, damnable preaching. Paul, you lost your head, and Timothy was coming to bring your coat. Why did you just and your books and things? Imagine how Timothy felt when he got there, and then you didn't. You had to go lose your head, and Peter. Upside down on a cross, really? And John boiled in oil? And Jesus on a cross. Is it always easy? And they say, if it is of God, it will stand. And they try every damnable trick to make the thing to go down. I answered a man the other day, and I says, yeah, no, that's true, but it may stand on the burial grounds of many true saints of God. See, the word doesn't change. Circumstances change. Arrangements that we've made in our minds about our lives have changed. But the word doesn't change. In this world, you will have persecution, and you will have trials, and you will be hated in the house of your friends. But I will cause you to have the victory if you'll only allow me to give you the grace to stand, having done all stand, and don't jump on a ship and try to get away. Isn't there a song like that? No, no, you'll never get away, never get away, never get away, never get away. Huh? See, you listening on the radio, the Bible says our rewards are in heaven. But how many churches can the poor really come to? Where they wouldn't be recognized as inferiors. Ushered to the back pews. Got a bus out there. It's got two flat tires. Looks like it's got California or bust on the thing. It's a real bad-looking grapes of wrath thing. You know what I mean? Yeah, it's one of them. Oh, God. Oh, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? Oh, here comes a whole bunch of people from the north side. Oh, God. It's Pastor Paul. He brought the hobo bus up here. God. Hurry up. Move everybody's coats. I've got lice and bugs and everything else. Move their coats. Hurry up. Hurry up. Scoop them up. Get them out of here. Spray the area with disinfectant. Hurry up. Oh, God, here they come. Oh, go. Hi. Now, how many know their faces are going to show where they're really at? Huh? Oh, what is that smell? Oh, God, I think I'm going to gag. Oh. That's the truth, isn't it? Get them in the back pews. Turn the fans on. Hardly spoken to and much complained about. I know a church that came down, they were going down here into, and a lot of churches go down there into the Mississippi courts. And they go in there, man, we're going to evangelize. And they load the bus up with all the unruly kids and all of this. And not just there, but all over where there's poverty. You know what I'm talking about? There's no father's situations or the mother. They've got problems or so on and so on and so on and so on. Why? The church hasn't been doing their job. And they go down there and they knock on the doors. Hello. They have the bowl haircuts, you know, and the pad with the pencils in it and the same old suit on. Yes, we'd like to pick up the children to go to church. Well, that's great. But you know what? You'll not see the same buses going down there year after year after year. You'll see them go down there about once or twice. And that's it. And if the parents come to church, that is really it. Come in, they got a snag socking. They got a rabble dress hanging down. Their hair is kind of ratty looking, you know. And they're coming in there. Oh, come to see the kids play. Yeah, me and Dad here. And yeah, we sure did. And the guy's got a little sprinkle of snuff running out of the corner of his mouth, you know. And yeah, we're sure happy you folks had us to come on down here. We really likes it, we do's. You think they're going to fit in at a church picnic when everybody's got on $50 Nike tennis shoes playing volleyball? Or would you take a whole group of these people and take them up to a seminar out here where all the Christians are all clean and white and they're walking on heaven's sands out there on the beaches? And the latest models of clothes? I mean, my God, let's get realistic. Who really wants to minister to the poor? Very few people. Right? It's fun to sit down and say, hi, how are you? And put on this phony face. Phony. Well, I'm going to get rid of a phony face. A lot of times I'm a phony, I'm free. How many a lot of times you're a phony? Well, admit it to yourself and get free of that phoniness. Paul, you're being a phony now. I know it. Sorry, Lord. And admit it. The truth will set you free. But we don't want to admit it. Oh, there they are. Oh, turn the fans on. Now we're back to the church again. You take the collection up, and the guy's. And they go back to the back. There's two rows all the way across from the hobo bus. Jim's standing there smiling like a chassis cat. That's a real smile, though. Well, there might be some meanness in it, but it's pretty real. Right? So like I was telling Jim the other day, I said, man, I want to see this thing go down here by the power of God. Of course, I have to admit, I got a few ulterior motives in making the thing go. And Jim says, oh, that's all right. Well, at least we know where each other's coming from, right, Jim? Oh, okay, you go on back. No, I'm not going back there. You go back there. Oh,
Okay, I'll go back there. I'm a good Christian. They're people like anybody else. They're just as good as anybody else. Guy told me that one time, we lived in a small town. He said, well, you know what? I think Greek people are as good as anybody else is. I thought, oh, thanks a lot. I needed that. You don't know what I'm talking about. Comes out of the heart. That was really a compliment, but it didn't sound like it to me. Okay, so the guy goes back to the story, back to the church. He goes back and he gets up there. He's really going to be a good Christian. So he tries to put on this smile, see? You know what I mean? He gets about halfway. I said, God, this smell is terrible. He gets about up there and he starts passing out this plate. And his face turns green and yellow and purple. And, he's just about ready to pass out. Huh? Do you hear me? And then he takes his handkerchief out and he grabs the plate like this so he doesn't want to get contaminated. You don't think that's the truth? I'm talking truth here. If he doesn't use the handkerchief, he runs into the bathroom. No soap in here? Wait till I get after that janitor. Well, there's nobody out. I'll go in the women's bathroom, wash my hands. Oh, God, he just washes them, rinses them. Ooh, oh, ooh. Am I telling the truth? You've seen people come down here, and they see some of our people slurping up soup and like that. Man, oh, man, they walk out of here like this. Fast draw McGraw walk. You know what I mean? Hands out at their sides. I ain't kidding you a bit. Pastor Paul, I really have to commend you on the work you're doing here. It's really great. They walked out of here so fast you would not believe it. Huh? My God, I wonder what would happen, though, if we would take our hobo bus out there to any of the suburban churches, any of them. It would ruin the day for a whole lot of people. Man, that ruined my day. Well, I bet you one thing, they would gladly support our mission if we just stay away. Do us a favor. What will it take to make you stay away from our doors? Well, being of a very innocent nature, sir, what do you ever mean by that? Do you mean monetarily, sir? Are you talking money? Sir? Sir? Sir, let me say, there is no amount of money, almost, that would make me not come out here. And the guy is talking, let's make a deal. Okay. And that's what they were talking with Jesus. Let's make a deal. And he didn't go for it. He says, no, I got these twiggies here to get you on fire. I'm the spark, they're the twigs, you're the branches. No, I think we're obligated to go to the highways and to the byways. If the poor are to have the gospel preached to them, then we got to take it to where the poor are. Under the bridge. By the highways and by the byways. Up on Broadway at the Bread Run. Over on Selby and Dale. Listening on radios, listening to tapes, whatever. Of course, not many churches preach the gospel anymore, so they have nothing to take out. They don't have any takeout orders. Well, we're not in the takeout business. We're in the incoming business.
Can't you see that? See that channel there up there? I'm almost embarrassed to say the price. Would you believe $67,000? See that organ over there? Guess what that cost? $30,000? How did you know? Yeah, I seen one just like that in one of your other churches. The guy told me how much it was worth. $30,000 for that pile of junk. Woo! How many are in this? And so they have nothing to give out because there's nothing on the inside. There's no gospel message. And listen, if I want the North Side to have the gospel preached to them, it would do me no good to go up here to the Walker Arts Center and preach to $1,000 a plate dinner preach. Would it? They can't come up there and spend $1,000. Well, I wondered one time, why do they charge $1,000 a plate? They don't want any of the poor people to come. And now we're going to have a fundraiser. We're going to have $1,000 a plate dinner. That's like churches are. They serve $1,000 a plate ministry to people. Well, we don't want to preach the gospel. I mean, that's only going for $2.98 a plate. Right? We lost it. Now we have $1,000 a plate. Hey, you know you can con people? You know there's cafes that, I'm not bragging, but I can cook up a dinner. Now, when I get into cooking, I'll get into it. I can cook up a dinner that right now in New York City they'd be charging at certain places $125 a plate for. And that wouldn't be as good as what I'd cook.
Why? Because there's people out there that buy that kind of thing. They buy that kind of message. They buy that prosperity $1,000 a plate thing because they think they're going to get something out of it. And they don't get nothing out of it, but a headache. What good is it to build one of these great big old churches right down in the middle of Skid Row? And then think that you're preaching to the poor. No, they wouldn't come, and if they did come, they wouldn't come again. And I believe the gospel should be preached then where the poor will come. And if they will not come after it, then it's our job to go out and take it to them. Take a hobo bus down and meet them. Take a bread bus over and a fruit mobile or whatever we want to call our thing now. It's got several names now. It's got fruits and vegetables and flour and eggs and beef. A grosh mobile! Right? Take them out in a Groschmobile and go here and go there and preach the gospel off the back of the Groschmobile. I appreciate Dove because when they go out, they minister the gospel along with their singing. And they're honest. You remember you were out there and you were talking about this ticket you got? You were honest. You were. You felt it showing on your face. Well, praise God, I got this ticket. And I tried to tell the cop, but he wouldn't listen, but praise God anyway. And then Don, you got into it and you said, well, and you were honest about it. And I thought, now, what a good way to present the gospel. Through a little tragedy. Right? And so the people could really grab that, couldn't they? It cost you something to go out there and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Well, you didn't altogether like it. But you still preached the gospel of Jesus Christ. You got free whilst you were preaching it. And shouldn't we have places close to them?
where they can be regarded and respected as much as any other rank and condition of men? Shouldn't we have our dining hall down there? May I take your order, please, with flowers on the table? And we're getting better, and now the salt shakers aren't disappearing. Pepper shakers left a long time ago. I have an announcement that I have on, and I make it over. And hello, ladies and gentlemen, this is Mr. Salt Shaker talking to you. Seems like all my friends and relatives have left. And if you're about to put me in your pocket, well, don't do that. Otherwise, there won't be no salt here. And by the way, go on back and tell all the little salt shakers that ask them if they want to come back to Disciples Ministry Church. And you know, the next day there was about 7 or 8 salt shakers back here on the table. Now, I got to do that with Mr. Pepper. But see, the point I'm making here is that you don't attack people. All right, no salt for nobody! Dirty thieves! Maybe there's only one guy that walks around taking salt shakers. It only takes one bad one to make it bad for the whole group, isn't it? A whole lot of shakers going out of here. But shouldn't we make it comfortable for people? Shouldn't we be hospitable? Shouldn't we open ourselves up to a little insult? Hey, I didn't get waited on yet. Oh. Glory to God, I missed you. I see you now, brother. Shouldn't we have fun? So here we are on the poor side of the tracks, on the north side, in a big church. And I say to all that, thank you, Jesus, for the gospel opportunities that we have had and that we are going to have in a greater way, shape, and form. Thank you for the outreach of this bread ministry and this food ministry and the hobo bus and all of those things that offer themselves so willingly to the gospel message, to the street witnessing that goes on. And so I say we must take the gospel message to the highways and to the byways. And the Bible says, compel them to come on in. That means grab them by the coat. Come on in. Well, you say there's a lot of churches. And they can go too. That's only half the trouble. They preach in another league. Sort of a droning, boring, no gospel content. A person called me the other day and said, well, you know, I don't mind you, but you laugh too much. Another thing I don't like about you, you have too many antidotes. Another thing I don't like about you, I was thinking, what do you like about me? But I let him go on because I like to find out all these faults. Another thing, not that I've corrected them, I'm working on it. And too many parables. Yeah, that was it. And I thought to myself, and I said, shouldn't the gospel be attractive? I said, well, you see, brother, I have to relate to the poor, and I have to identify with the poor, and I have to live with the poor, and I can't go around with, sounding out my words perfectly, and rolling my eyes, of course, yes. Mm-hmm. Huh? Like Preacher Buckley, maybe? Hmm? Well, the content of this scripture definitely means, extricate the quadruped from the vehicle, stabulate him, denote him an adequate supply of nutritious element, and when he roars, illuminates a horizon, I will reward thee with a pecuniary compensation for the amiable hospitality. Now, do you know what I said? I know what I said, but I'm not going to take the time to tell you what I said. See, I was schooled in English. My mother was a genius. She was literally a genius.
And she had all of these sayings, and she had all of these words. She didn't say basement, she said basement. She didn't say siren, she said sirene. See, everything, she had all of this, and it's right up here. But you know what I found out? It doesn't do one bit of good down here on the north side. Are you hearing it? And it doesn't do one bit of good out there to give that kind of lingo. No, you have to become to the lowly. You have to become lowly. Jesus became lowly. God became lowly. Wouldn't it be a waste of time for me to preach like that to you? You didn't know one word that I said. Or to preach in Latin to you, or to preach in Greek to you, or to use high technology parables. How many know Jesus Christ could have given examples only understood by Einstein? But he kept it simple. And if we don't, the masses will leave the church unedified and uninstructed. I think we talk much about education. Why is it failing? It does not relate to the problems. It's not real. Now, if you're preaching where there's hunger, and you preach to what people are thinking about, something to eat. First thing I'd do, if I was a teacher, I'd get everybody full so they'd listen. All right, first lesson, put your hands on your desk. You're going to see two men going down the aisles. They're going to have chocolate milk on that side. We're going to have orange juice, and we're going to have white milk on that side, and we're going to have graham crackers. All right, go. And they pass out these milks. They pass out these graham crackers. Now, how's everybody feeling? Great! Well, that's the kind of audience I want to have. You can't preach to somebody when they're hungry, when they're chewing on their color crayons because they haven't had nothing to eat. They're sitting there with green and purple teeth. Now, I'm talking the truth. No, we have to relate to people, and we got to keep it simple. If Jesus kept it simple, why can't preachers keep it simple? I don't think ignorance isn't buried yet. No, it isn't. I mean, we're moving into computers, and the greater majority can barely read or write. And this is progress. Is this progress? Do you think you see a lot of homeless now? You're going to see a lot more homeless. Can you run the X100 9 million words per second computer printer? Or can you drive this new truck, computerized, and you get inside the truck, and this looks like one of these airplanes. And the guy's out there with one of these flags. Huh? That's a new truck, the new wave of things that's coming up. You call that progress? How many people do you think are going to be walking the streets if this old world makes it to the year 2000? Now, I'll tell you one thing. All the high and the wealthy and the mighty are going to live on a hill with gates of steel and iron all around themselves, with landmines and dogs out there. Say amen. We're coming into an awful time right now. You know what the problem is? Unlove. Why do people leave? They do not love the gospel of Jesus Christ enough to stand. They're right. They don't want to become simps like me. Well, you're talking a lot about the gospel. No, I think preachers and teachers ought to be realistic.
involved in knowing the problems the rich and the poor face. And you listen there, Dr. Rev, big words. It's not necessary for you to relate in such big words every Sunday, so everyone has to buy a dictionary just to find out what you're saying. Are you interested in probably gaining an intellectual group or preaching the gospel? And then we have Dr. Rev Cloudy Message, preaching like he's in sort of a lost fog. I suppose he goes so deep down into the subject, he stirs up the mud at the bottom of the message and he can't find his way up out of it. Some love this type of preaching. And they walk out of church saying, I wonder what he meant. My, what a mind-boggling message. Heavy, heavy. No, I think we've got to leave the flower beds and go into the cornfields and get those old corn messages, those old root messages. We must allow God's Spirit to minister to the adopted phraseologies, let's say, of the people. And not be ashamed to be despised because we talk the common talk of the people. And also, besides keeping it simple and making it attractive, make sure it's the gospel. You must preach the full depravity of man. How many know that man is depraved? Oh, God, every one of us. How many know that the gospel has to tell a person that they're lost and ruined under the law, and that their restoration only comes through the grace under the gospel? And so the gospel message, let me tell you, preachers, has got to come from here. The word of God only, no other word. The blood of Christ only and no other blood. The Holy Spirit only and no other spirit. Those three things make up the gospel. The Bible alone is our guide map. The blood of Jesus Christ, the only salvation from sin, the only means of full pardon through Christ and away from our guilt, and the Holy Spirit, the only regenerating factor, and the only converting power that alone will deliver us, that alone will work to do His will and good pleasure, the Bible says, within us. And without these three things, there is no gospel. Let us take heed that we preach these things, or else we preach, like the Bible says, another gospel. And the Bible says, if you preach another gospel, let that person go to hell. I think we would be as guilty as Nero, I'm reminded of the tyrant, who, when Rome was starving, sent his ships to Alexandria. Not down there to get all the corn that Alexandria had. No, for sand to spread around in the arena for the gladiators. And isn't that the way it is right now? My God, you see people starving all over and huge buildings going up and huge this and huge that. And we have a lot of this among us today, scattering the floor of their sanctuary, not with the corn of the kingdom, for the soul and the souls of God's people to feed upon and to grow, but the sands of controversy and the sands of logic and the sands of humanism. And no soul is going to prosper from that kind of teaching. The poor have the gospel preached to them. So let's be careful that it is the gospel. Him that cometh unto me, I will no wise cast out. That's the gospel.
There you have it. That was the conclusion, episode 210, part 2, The Poor. If you missed part 1, just go to www.pastorpaul.blogspot.com, and there you're going to find all of Pastor Paul's podcasts. You're also going to find show notes, and in those show notes are links and scripture links that are within Pastor Paul's messages. You can listen to the podcast every Friday for part 1 and every Sunday for part 2. And be sure to subscribe to the podcast so that you'll get those as soon as they are published. Now, next Friday, join us for The Self-Righteous. Have a great week. God bless you.
gato mo. El gato mo. El gato mo. El gato mo. When the Lord get ready, El gato mo. Get ready, you got to move.